And the biggest problem comes, I think, if you let a situation build up where you become so exasperated that pretty soon you're screaming.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I?" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today and for the next 2 weeks with my dear friend, Arlita Winston. Arlita is the mother of 5 children, and I think that she and her husband, Joe, who is a physician, have one of the most exemplary families that I know about. In fact, some of you have read about them. If you've read my book, Love Has a Price Tag, you read a chapter called 5 Kids and Peace. And sometimes people have come to me and said, "Is that family for real? Can those parents possibly exist?" And one lady wrote in to the radio station and wanted to know if there was any chance that we could hear you, Arlita, here in person. And so I'm just absolutely delighted that you're here today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's our pleasure and our privilege. And the first thing that I want Arlita to do is to tell us a little story that she told me, a charming story about one we might call confrontation that she had with her little son, Brad, when he was about 2 years old. I think Brad had torn one of his storybooks to pieces. Was that it?
Oh, he was in a rage. And he picked up one of his books and tore it to shreds, glowering at me, I think just to see what my reaction would be. And quietly, with a swift movement, I caught him up and placed him firmly on a kitchen stool right in the middle of the floor all by himself. And then slowly I bent down and I picked up every little shred that he had torn. And I placed them just in a heap on his lap. And looking into his eyes, I said with great solemnity, "Oh, Brad, how sad. It's all gone. We don't have any more book. How sad. Now you just sit here and you hold all these pieces in your lap." Then I went about my business, and he seemed very startled and stunned. And 5 minutes or 10 minutes passed. Then I turned around again, and I showed grief at the torn book, all the shreds in his lap. And he shifted his attention because he could see Sarah and Joe playing just a few feet away, and he really thought he had done penance long enough and he wanted to get up and play. But I said, "No, you keep sitting there. I want you to think about what you have done. Now you just hold these." And he sat. "I want you to just sit and consider what you've done." And for a full hour, he sat there.
This boy was 2 years old?
He was 2 years old.
And he sat for an hour on that high stool.
Well, he couldn't very well slide down. He was up on a high stool, and by then supper was made, and he was a very subdued 2 year old.
Well, to me, that's a perfect example of exactly what I see so many mothers not doing. And I think that we've got material here, Arlita, for who knows how many programs, and we're not going to try to rush through all the principles that I think this one story alone illustrates. But I'd like you to talk about the very first thing that you mentioned, and that was that you did it quietly. As soon as you saw that Brad had torn his book to shreds, instead of screaming at him and reacting with sudden anger and violence and yanking the child by the arm and screaming at him, you did something very different. I think our listeners will already know, just from hearing your voice, that you can be very quiet and gentle. In fact, I've never known you to be anything else.
Well, it would have been very easy to get very angry. At that point, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's tired. And I do get angry.
But you told me that you think one of the most important rules in rearing children is never raise your voice. Are there any exceptions?
I suppose there would be if a child is racing out into the middle of the street. I can't help but think I would scream after him. But on the normal day-to-day training, I really feel that a mother needs to never raise her voice.
If you're in the house and if you're in the same room, there would be no need, would there?
And the biggest problem comes, I think, if you let a situation build up where you become so exasperated that pretty soon you're screaming. Another reason why you have to repeat something over and over again is because the child hasn't heard you in the first place. And take this situation. I know Brad was trying to get me upset, and the fact of my very quietly responding to him let him to know that I was still in control of myself, and I didn't react with a hysterical response.
There's one a very important principle right there, isn't it? That if the mother is not in control of herself, she can't possibly be in control of the child.
That's right. That's right.
Could we insert here the experience that you had with the young mother who was in the habit of screaming at her child? You told me that story and the effect that it had had on the child.
Yes, there was a friend of mine whose child had been placed into a special ed class, couldn't control herself. And in talking with the mother about it, we discovered that she lost her temper over and over and over again and was constantly screaming at the child. And the very first thing we did was to help her to see where she was just exploding and fiercely fighting against her husband and her children. And the child was simply copying this. This is all the child knew. 18 months later, after working on her temper, the child was placed into a regular class. The child had benefited that soon from the mother's diligent work.
Isn't that, to me, that's just an amazing story. I don't think we realize how powerful the effect of our own attitude and voice tone and all of that is on a child's very malleable mind. And there is a case in point where the child was regarded as retarded, and here it was really a matter of changing the mother's whole attitude. So you spoke to Brad quietly. I know there are a lot of mothers out there that say, well, I just don't see how you do that. I mean, I just lose my temper. I get so upset with my child. I just scream. And I see them in the grocery store, and my heart goes out to these poor women in the grocery store with a baby in the cart and a 2-year-old toddling along and maybe a 4-year-old grabbing the stuff off the shelves. And the mother's saying, put that back. I say, put that back. If you were in that position, how would you go about correcting the child?
I think that mother, right from the start, has given up. The scriptures talks about in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And a very important principle that I follow is that God has given me the authority as the mother. And so with confidence, I can move in. The moment the defiant action is made, you don't wait until the third time. You just move swiftly.
Let me ask you here, we've just got so few minutes left on this one subject, but I just want to help the women out there who are very aware that they've been doing it all wrong. It is their habit to scream. It's their habit to raise their voice when they get angry. They feel it's the only way they can get the child's attention. So they say, oh, well, I know I've done it wrong. I really want to do it right, Arlita. Now, can you tell me how to start over? I think you've already given her the first principle. Realize that God has given her the authority. She doesn't have to gain it or insist upon it. She simply has to accept the fact that he has given her authority. What can she do next?
I think the quietness needs to be built into her situation. I think to start your day out quietly before God has been the single most important thing in my life. Also knowing that God has promised to give us wisdom in that situation. The times when I get into trouble are when I don't stop and say, God, what do I do about this situation? Usually we just go from making the peanut butter sandwich to slapping it on the tray and jamming the child in the chair when we're so angry and say, now sit, eat this.
So maybe it would help, would it help, do you think, for a woman who is in this habit to try to make herself stop, just as you say, stop, maybe take three deep breaths and say, Lord, help me, and then proceed as you did to start to deal with the thing in a quiet and controlled manner.
I think it's the only way, because he's promised to coach us. And he gave children to young women. And he doesn't expect you to know how to cope. And he's promised to give us that instruction.
There are no experts, are there?
No. And you go trembling day by day. You really walk through your day on your knees. And that's where the practicing of the presence of God gives you a creative way to even know how to discipline.
Well, thank you so much, Arlita Winston. She is the mother of five. And if you'll be listening for the next couple of weeks, you're going to get a lot of wisdom about how to discipline children.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.